Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny. An important topic coming from my side of the universe today, although it really does not relate to me, but it kind of does because I appreciate these types of resellers. How do part-time resellers survive in the ever-changing realm of reselling? If you're in the Amazon space, I'll just dive in first here. The writing's kind of been on the wall. They basically gate you in categories. So one week you can sell, for example, a recent one was like Universal branded DVDs. We know a lot of movies are Universal, made by Universal, sold by Universal. And there seems like they are putting those behind gates for smaller sellers than larger sellers. So the struggle is if you're part-time, you're not making as much income as the full-timer. So you can't afford to buy in these situations. They want you to buy 100 of Universal branded DVDs and submit your invoice. And there's no guarantee that your invoice is even going to be accepted. So I think it's important to kind of talk about how we can navigate the new landscape in Amazon as a part-timer. And I think even just reselling in general, I think the part-timer now has to be a lot more calculated than the 2020, 2021 part-timer where you could get away with almost buying junk and selling junk consistently. I think the landscape has changed now. And I think part-timers, there's lots of them. There's a lot more part-timers than full-timers. And a lot of them go away. They wind up not, you know, having the thriving business. And I think there's ways you can avoid this. And it's just focusing on the one thing you have as a part-timer and the one thing you don't really have is you have the capital, but you don't have the time. So you have to be, I think the biggest thing that you can do part-time is to basically raise your ASP. Only go for the triples and the home runs. No more singles. Maybe a double here or there if it's something that has a super fast sell-through. But I think the days of just going to a thrift store as a part-timer and spending $3 to make $3, if it requires you just putting it in the car, it's already too much work.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go with it as well. I think your sourcing has to really be on point. You have to be the cherry picker's cherry picker. Your Rolodex has to be on fire. Now, you won't have that off the gate, obviously. But after doing this for a minute, you have an idea of what consistently and always sells for good money. Your trigger set, I think, needs to be high. And again, like he said, fast sell-through rate, no questions asked. So your cost of goods, I think, can be high as well, as the case may be, because you may have to pay $5 to get a $50 item versus like me coming along doing a library sale for pennies to get the same item. But you don't have to deal with everything that's left over. Your time's more precious. Than mine, I guess.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I think that's another huge route you go is you spend more money, but you have less work, right? So you buy the item for $80 to make $40, right? Like that 100%. It's not as exciting though, right? Like that's the big thing we get back to.
Johnny's. There's no glory with that model, not at all.
There's no like you walk in and you find the dollar gold bar that you can sell for $1,000, right? But there's sell through that comes with this. You buy this item for $80. You know that this vintage T-shirt sells at minimum for $120, and it'll be out of your house within 2 weeks. Like that is the part timer that wins.
Right, or you may go the scheduled appointment personal collection pick versus walking into a thrift store and hoping for the best. Because you can strike out at a thrift store, but if the Facebook, Craigslist, Nextdoor guy made some decent photos and you can eyeball it and like know there's money there, and you go in and you just pick out what you want, if they're allowing that, they may be a buy it all deal. But if the price is right, you may have a little bit of junk that way, but you know ahead of time what you're getting. You already know if you have to buy it all. This bookcase alone is worth the time you'll have to spend either getting rid of or doing big lots with the remainder, honestly, versus a library sale, where again, where that's just another mixed bag, like a thrift store. There's going to be some highs, there's going to be some, well, there's going to be a lot more lows, but yes.
I think you got to niche down within a niche as well, if possible, right? So like I'm going to be the part-time toy seller, but like I can't be the guy that sells My Little Pony, SpongeBob, Ninja Turtles, right? Like maybe go for like an era of toys. So you have the information ahead of you, right? We all have downtime, whether we're working our job, and we can kind of listen to different podcasts and kind of understand the market. It's going to take knowledge. But I think niching down, being an everything part-time seller, you may think it sounds glorious, right? Like I can go in any store and I can shop anything. I'm here to tell you, it is so inefficient, you're not going to last.
No, it'd be a big headache. And you're right. Maybe you're the antiquarian seller, but beyond that, you're only for like farming antiquarian or prep work, like canning. There's lots of good books about canning that are worth really good money. Or how do you make your own cans? Like from the glass formation to making the lids to sealing it and all that. Yeah, I think you're right. Being a niche person, especially if you're on eBay, is highly important. Shotgun approach for part-time, that's a hard game, doable, but again, hard, and your work time and your dollars per hour is just going to go down, because the difference between me doing a big haul in like a week, it's going to take you months. And it's just too slow, in my opinion. You need to either speed along or narrow your scope. And I think narrowing the scope's better.
It's tough to balance it because we get so excited, especially if you're part-time and you just started selling. But I think another hard kind of realization is that you're doing this part-time, so you can't expect full-time results, right? Like you're only doing this 10 hours a week, maybe 5 hours a week. Of course, you're not going to be pushing the crazy numbers you see on social media. So you have to be like, okay, well, this is who I am, right? It's kind of like how I am, even though I'm full-time. Like, this is who I am. These are the numbers I'm going to have, kind of. This is where I'm going to max out at. This is kind of where my minimum is. And that's A-okay. But I think it's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow when you're like, well, I'm doing this and I see other people that have more better results. And here I am doing, an extra $200 a week. But I'm here to tell you, I mean, if you're getting $200 a week, you're spending 5 hours, it's $40 an hour. That's, your take home after all your costs and overhead and taxes. Like, that's pretty damn good. Johnny, these jobs ain't paying much. Hate to break it to you. Go look on Indeed, wherever they post jobs anymore. They're not paying much. So if you can get $20 an hour after your cost of goods, taxes, fees, and everything, and you're putting in 5, 10, 15 hours a week, I mean, that's no, nothing to be shamed about. Like, let's go. Like, that's decent money.
I was watching a video, a millennial lady, which is my age bracket. I know I'm offending half our audience, but anyway, she was going over what $20 used to mean. Like when she was a teenage girl, her mom would give her $20, drop her off at the mall. She could spend all day there. She could go to the movies. She could pick up a couple items of clothes, get some food at the food court, and still probably have $5 left over by the end of all that. You can't even buy a movie ticket for hardly under $20 just for yourself anymore. I
Oh,
mean,
dude.
it's hard. It's hard, man.
It's hard to make money, and I think reselling is spun in a way where it's like kind of a get rich quick. You can make a lot of money reselling in a short period of time. It's just going to take a knowledge base. Like thinking you can just start today and walk into a thrift store and make $1,000 is far fetched. I think the game has changed a lot, and I think as the platforms continue to, I mean, there's still so many advances with AI we haven't even seen yet, right? So not only are the part-timers going to get crushed when AI gets better for the mega sellers, like people like me and you, we're going to be paying, and we have been, right? We sell media. There's people out there that have conveyor belts. Me and Johnny can't compete with conveyor belt people, right? So as technology advances and the AI gets better, we already got like Google Lens. You can just take a photo, it says what it is. Who's to say that eBay doesn't come out with something where you just take a photo and it lists it automatically for you. It automatically knows the dimensions, the size, men's, women, whatever. It may suck at first, right? They got the AI description now, which sucks. It just pulls your item details and puts it into some bogus paragraph. But these things are only going to get better. I love part-time. There's part-timers that are absolutely crushing it. So for like every five that quit, there's usually one part-timer that's doing like 10K in profit every single month. And I'm just like, the possibility is still there. You just have to be calculated. Don't get discouraged when these things happen, right? Like everybody's pissed off. I can't sell Universal. They want me to buy 100. Well, what can we do to kind of counteract that, right? Like, what are you going to do with all the items you can't sell? You can sell them on eBay, get some money for them, lot them up, and then put that money towards getting ungated in that brand. I think a lot of part-timers just, when they get a little bit of resistance, the instant reaction is just like, well, this is it. This is another thing that's happening. And I say the opposite. Like,
Fees are going up. I'm out of business this year.
you've already taken the steps to build the business to this point. So don't let another little kind of jab that a platform throws at you or like life throws at you, like, well, this is it. I'm just like, no, this is the furthest thing from it. Sure, do you have to adapt and change some things? But I mean, everybody's doing that all the time, unless you want to wind up
Well,
like Kmart.
what's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Look what's happening at thrift stores. I mean, the good stuff is starting to become less and less out on the floor. You can't even get your hands on it because they've already decided to sell it in the back room somehow, some way. And you never even get a chance. The chances and opportunities, they aren't as abundant as they were anymore because, like you mentioned, technology's coming along. These bigger corporation chains that we all shop from, they're starting to get more savvy with it. So the game is getting harder, same game, just harder. So you have to broaden your horizons. And like we were saying, from a full-timer, go from a less shotgun approach or chainsaw to a more scalpel surgical approach.
And knowledge is going to be your best friend as you niche down as a part-timer, and not just being, oh, I can sell the board game, I can sell the lamp, I can sell the VCR, I can sell the book. Like, that is, you don't have enough time. You're part-time, right?
Pick
You
one.
don't,
Pick one of those. Don't do them all. Pick one.
pick one and do it real good and understand that, hey, now I'm an expert, so I can go on Facebook Marketplace and I can see that the Sony VCR that somebody's selling for $50, I can get $150 on eBay for it, and I can offer them even lower than $50. And you already know the profit when you see the item because you understand that you're not the person. I see this all the time, Johnny, in every damn thrift store I'm in. Here I am on my phone on the eBay app, and I'm looking up a million different things in my cart. I have no idea, but I'm just going to sit here all day and look up every single item on eBay and hope that I can find one that might sell for more, right? Like, it's crazy to me how much time we can waste. And part-timers, that's the big challenge, right? Johnny just said it. The thrift stores ain't what they used to be. You can't just go into a Goodwill anymore and grab two shopping carts and fill it up with stuff. It does not exist. They sell online. They have backdoor relationships. Somebody's taken all of the lamps. Somebody's taken all of the books. If you don't think this is happening, or maybe it's not happening in your area right now, right? You're like, well, my thrift stores are still good. Well, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news. It ain't going to last.
And you'll notice it's even in estate sales. You walk in and everything is priced at eBay prices because you know what? They eBay price comped it before they open the doors to you. They're catching on. Flea market people, how many of you guys have seen it at the flea market even? It's worth $5 on eBay. Well, they did it wrong. They're pulling up listed prices and then you toggle over to solds and then they're like, okay, fine, give me my $3.
Yeah, dude.
Technology's in everybody's pockets. Now, the laziness factor is starting to kick in because they thought they were getting screwed, and you know what? They're right. And so now they're learning the technology not to get screwed. And it's not like we were doing anything wrong. Everybody agrees to a number, and you get money's exchanged, goods are exchanged, and everybody goes on their way. But people want more money, as all like we mentioned, $20 ain't what $20 used to be. So they got rent and they got mouths to feed too. So they've had to adapt with the times. And you know what? It comes out of our pocket at the end of the day. And by that, I mean dollars. So you're either going to have to pay up for things or broaden your horizons or narrow your scope.
So I just pulled it up. The average hourly wage in the US is $36. Now that's probably skewed because there's a lot of rich people in this country. It says the median hourly wage is $29. So
Okay.
it means half of all workers make more than 29 per hour, half make less.
It's factoring in all hourly workers. So you're talking your engineers versus your Starbucks workers. So
Yes,
they're going to meet in the
exactly.
middle at $29.
So I think a good starting point for anybody is to be making $20 an hour after everything. I think is a good starting point to go in, because I'll tell you right now, Central Pennsylvania, the jobs, finding a job that's going to pay you $20 an hour that isn't like backbreaking, you're the trash guy type labor, that's hard to come by. So like I think $20, I mean, if you're in California, that's peanuts, right? Like, but minimum wage here in Pennsylvania is 7.25. Right, like you,
Yeah.
nobody in their right mind can live off 7.25.
No, they can. They just need three jobs.
Just work 120 hours a week, right? You'll be fine. I think it's a good starting point in not getting caught up and valuing your time. And I guess the other side to that is you're not going to find as much, right? You're not going to be, you're not going to find as many items. You're not going to be buying as many items, but you're not going to be storing the junk. You're only buying the good quality stuff. Even if you pay a little bit more, that's actually going to sell. You're actually going to list the item, put it in your little storage system, or send it off to Amazon, and it's actually going to sell, which means you're actually going to make money. The part-time trap is you just go buy everything. You got too much junk, none of it sells. You spend way too much time in the business, and then you think that reselling don't work. Well, it's just your whole business model don't work.
Right. And you still can bring a home a carload on part-time hours. It's just you're going to have a very busy route, is what we're going to call it. And you may pick up 10 items here, 5 items there, 0 items. But at the end of 48 hours, your car is full and you're going to be dying off coffee exhaustion because you got to get up and go to work the next day. And the following days, you got to list all that stuff and do it again. You're going to have what we call the part-time grind, and it will be a grind, but you will, lack of a better, be an expert in your field, the better and more time you put into it if you've narrowed down what you're buying.
For sure. And we got part-timers that are in the group and they buy in bulk. They'll buy bulk DVDs, bulk CDs, bulk books, and they'll throw them in the garage because you're part-time. You don't have time to go run the thrifting route, right? So you have the inventory there, but that also can be a trap because you think to yourself, well, now I don't have to work on it. It's going to be in my garage forever. It's a new member of the family.
And right, when you level up from that, let's say you got some money in the bank finally, because I'm assuming you're starting from basically $0, maybe $20, and now you got a couple grand sitting in there. Okay, you can swap the 48-hour grind, pump that couple grand into an Easton Press collection, and then resell that. It's less items, but they're primo items, right? And maybe you're paying $20, $22 per, but they are all going to sell. And they're all going to sell for decent money. So, and then you can level up again and again and again by larger, bigger, more pristine collections. But you gotta go through the trenches if you're starting it. I only got $20 that I can spend in the business. You gotta start there. Unless you already got money in the bank, you can't go from level one to level two lickety split.
Yeah, it's going to take time, right? I mean, think about it. It's basic math. You can't break the math. If you only start with $100, you got to turn the 100 into 500, right? And that's going to take X amount of time. Then you're going to turn the 500 into 1,000, X amount of time. It's a journey. I guess that's what it comes down to. It's not something where you're going to start reselling part time and you're going to have all this crazy success like instantly. Sure, you might find some gems, sell something, get excited about it. But overall, your reselling journey is a lot more than, the first year of your actual business, right? We all look back at the first year and we're just like, it was just chaos. You're just doing things, you're doing things wrong, but it
Yeah,
don't
you
matter.
paid some learning expenses, you screwed up. The goal is to your journey reference, don't stop believing. I
If
had
you're
to.
the part-timer now that feels like you're up against the world or like the platforms just aren't what they used to be, I would challenge you all to take a step back and look at your business model and seriously ask yourself, right? Like, if I was doing this part time and I was doing $500 months on eBay up until 2025, and now my sales are down to $250 a month. I think you have to really take a look at your business model, what you're selling, the platform you're selling it on. Don't keep dragging something out and keep putting in more work and not getting the results. At some point, dude, it's a-okay to just pack it up and move on.
Right. I mean, take a hard look. And are your prices too high? Maybe you need to come down in prices. Yeah, that $20 item really sells for 12. I've marked it down to 12. They're all selling. And you only, or you're like, huh, when I do a half off sale, all my stuff sells. Why doesn't it sell for full price? Well, probably a good indicator your price too high. Other things is stop listing $12 items, man. Go for realistic items. Because you don't, I don't believe you have the time to do the huge volume game with the lower margin stuff. So you need to move it up. Again, become a specialist. And so take a pause, do some research. Like there is a sold list on eBay every day. Go to your category and just scroll through that sucker and see what's selling. Because you'll see some repeat offenders on those lists. And that goes in your mental Rolodex when you're out shopping. You need to pick these things up because they sell every day. Now, the one-offs and the two-offs, that's good to have as well. But if you're seeing, I don't know, Stephen King sells every day for $20 on the nose, doesn't matter what it is. Well, maybe you just start picking up Stephen King. Maybe you make a route and just pick up all the Stephen Kings you can. Do that. Do that for one day, one sourcing day. See if you can bring home a box load, box worth of Stephen King, and list it all for $20 and see what happens.
I take great pride in surviving. I guess it would be the great reseller purge of 24, because I think a lot of resellers kind of, right? When we look back during the pandemic, you could sell anything. Everybody was making buku
I
bucks,
could
dude.
sell Nora Roberts during the pandemic, and I did.
Everybody was making buku bucks. And I think that we see a little bit of residual effects here now from the part-timers that kind of hung on this long and they're still not getting results is. That market was not realistic, right? It's like a bubble. The bubble burst on reselling, I guess you could say. So, like Johnny was saying, you got to reevaluate, go back, look at what you got. I mean, there's no reason we should be storing this, especially if you're an eBay seller, like storing the pair of sneakers in your house for longer than I do for 6 months. 6 months is all I get my stuff on Amazon. So, I'm going to stand my ground on the eBay front as well.
You're
Like,
doing shoes. I accept this.
6 months, like let's get rid of this stuff, right? Like let's move these items. It's got to be defeating if I come home every day. I work a full-time job. A lot of part-timers have families they take care of. We got a lot of part-time moms out there that do this business. A lot of part-time retired seniors as well. And like I know it's defeating when you come in and you see all this junk sitting in your house that you're like, I spent money on this, right? Like, this is my money sitting here, not doing nothing for me. Like, your inventory sitting at home, not selling, is literally costing you money because you paid for those items.
Another thing I see happen, and it's a hard lesson to learn, but I've seen people not learn it for decades, of they're buying stuff that they assume's cool and they like it and appreciate it, and they do have it for sale, but it's not worth anything, and the desirability of people who also like it is really low. So again, they got to change up what they're selling, in my opinion. Now, you bought these things, they aren't selling. What do you do with it? Do you take all these listings down? You could, but in my opinion, you've already done the work and you should just let them slowly sell off and transition to things with a faster sell-through rate and hopefully a higher ASP to boot. It's nice to have the both, but if you had to choose one, STR would be, because that's repeatable, right? It's a formula.
You need stuff that actually sells, and I think you're right there. You know, people are just so accustomed to listing anything, and I think a lot of new sellers, especially on Amazon, they get discouraged because they can't sell a lot of the stuff, right? Amazon kind of wants you to give a little bit of put in a little bit of sweat equity before they let you sell a lot of items, and now they're even gating people that have been part time on Amazon for 5 years, five over 5 years. All of a sudden, they can't sell XYZ product. And I struggle with, okay, well, if we've been selling for 5 years or even a year on Amazon part time, I consider part time like I guess one box every 2 weeks. So between 30 and 100 items every 2 weeks. You should have some type of capital by now. So when you do get gated in Universal, if it's a huge part of your inventory, right? Another thing that we've seen specifically in the group, like they did Universal, Scholastic, and Hallmark. And I went and looked at my inventory when these happened. Universal is like 110 items. I didn't get gated. I don't get gated to none of this stuff. I just attribute that to being an older account. And like Johnny said, sell through. Amazon wants you to sell your items. That's how they get paid. And I am the most aggressive repricer. 6 months, it's the lowest price it's going to sell, basically guaranteed. And I don't run into any of these gates that other people run into. So you should have money set aside to get ungated, right? Universal is going to cost you what? You go find DVDs usually on sale for like $3, $4 a piece. So you're looking at $300, $400 if it's a huge part of your business. But people are freaking out. And I search my inventory. So I got 100 Universal, not a huge deal. I got over 5,000 items. Would I get ungated? Yes, for sure. But I have the capital and I'm full time. Then there's like Hallmark. I had like three or four Hallmark DVDs. Sure, they're profitable, but they're not everywhere, right? Like, I don't know anybody that carries a large Hallmark DVD inventory because they actually sell because they're not printed in mass, right? And then the other one was Scholastic. I had like three Scholastic. So we're talking about a tiny bit of a tiny bit of a tiny bit, but you get the email, dude, and that's it. Like, this is it, Johnny. I can't sell Universal. What's next? What do they want? They want one of my cats. They want my blood. Like, what's next?
Unfortunately, I missed those, but I did get hit with Disney, and that was ouch. Disney was a lot of decent items, and I was sad. But you know what? Life goes on, and there's other means. I can contact somebody who's open in Disney, like, yo, I got a bunch of Disney. You want it? I'll make you a deal. Yeah, part-time doesn't have to be as painful if done right. I mean, we're making it sound terrible with all the research and this, that, and the other, but you chose to do this. At the end of the day, you chose to be a reseller, and it comes with a fair bit of work. Either you're sweating or your brain's sweating because you're doing a ton of research and you're trying to retain it all, right? Knowledge is power in this game. Also, even in Amazon land, what are you sending in repeatedly that you're finding in your area? And how do you target just that stuff and leave everything else alone? Because if you can get it by the truckloads, you're basically just printing money, but you got to figure that out. You're the one that has to figure it out. Nobody's going to give you this magical BOLO list. I hate BOLO list. You know why? Because once somebody makes the list, everybody knows. Good job ruining the market, BOLO list people. You two can eat a big one.
Well, that's every YouTuber in the history of reselling because everybody blames reselling YouTubers for Goodwills and thrift stores keeping everything back. And to an extent, I agree. But at the end of the day, it's still out there for the taking, right? Like Goodwill's not going to the estate sales. Goodwill's not building the one-on-one relationships with the libraries or, you know, Goodwill isn't going upstream. That's literally the last spot before it goes to the landfill. So like, if you're relying on the last spot before the landfill,
You
like
might miss the boat, my friend.
you're already in trouble here, right? Like you're already on thin ice. It's tough. I appreciate part-timers. I still think there's a lot of opportunity, but I do think, like you said, it has to be a surgical approach and you have to be willing to change things if they're not working. Because if it ain't working, Johnny, if I'm reselling and I ain't making no money, dude, I'm out. There's other ways to make money and say okay. There's nothing
Go get
wrong with saying.
yourself an Uber or a Starbucks job. You'll make more money. Honestly, no shame in that, really. I
No.
mean, you're making more money and your whole demeanor will change because that's why you did this in the first place. Not necessarily because you fell in love with reselling, but because you needed extra money. And if you got to go work at Starbucks to do that because you couldn't cut it in reselling, that's okay. You found that out, that you are not good at reselling, and everybody acknowledges what they're not good at. I would make a horrible surgeon. I can't do it. I would just take my chainsaw, cut you open, and be like, where's the crazy glue? And I'd be a failure as a surgeon.
Don't try it, dude. And if you do, let me know when you're in office so I know to not leave my house and be wrapped in bubble wrap so I don't wind up on your table somewhere.
Waste disposal, I'd probably be good at, but the surgeon part, not so much. But anyway, back to the point, acknowledging what you're not good at and moving on from that, that's how we learn, right? So you tried reselling, you weren't good at it. okay, maybe it's time to move on. And it doesn't have to be Starbucks. We're not meaning that to sound demeaning. It could be, I don't know, manager at a Ruby Tuesdays, or maybe you're really good at engineering and you're a hobbyist engineer. Well, maybe you shift over to making that a full-time career now.
I sucked it. I still suck. It's not even past tense. I suck at eBay, all right? Like, I had to move on from it. Like,
And it's not like you're a bad reseller, you just are a bad eBay reseller.
could I have an eBay business? 100%. The answer every time is yes. Everybody can. But will it be efficient and profitable?
And will you
That
hate yourself the whole time?
exactly, dude. That is the thing. So I just remove myself from it fully. And I'm perfectly okay getting some of that money by sending my stuff to you, and I don't have to deal with it because I accept that I suck at eBay. I don't want to waste time on eBay. It doesn't interest me, and I can make more dollars per hour doing something else, right? So don't be the part-time reseller. If, like Johnny said, maybe you are a nurse, and instead of reselling, you just go work 8 hours overtime or pick up an extra shift, right? Like, if the whole goal of what you're trying to do, your side hustle, is to make more money, then let's make more money. Don't necessarily have to be reselling. But if you are reselling, then let's make more money reselling than we're doing anything else, right? Because the possibilities are there.
And I have seen this. I have seen people shift from reseller to sorcerer for a reseller because they are bad at the reselling part, but they're a great sorcerer. They're 5 stars, full compliments, salute when it comes to buying the stuff. As far as getting it up, as far as inventorying it, as far as running an actual business, F, B
Dang,
minus,
dude, that's me. I don't want to list
terrible,
nothing. I don't want
really
to do that.
bad.
I don't
Stop
want
it
to do no
now.
photos, no
And they realize
listings.
that and they make the shift and they connect with the reseller. They get a steady paycheck every week. They go source every week. They shifted to what they were good at. And kudos to you if you can figure that out.
Man, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. We're going to wrap this episode up here. We appreciate all you part-time hustlers. And just remember, right, the opportunity's out there. Bet on yourself. I think being an entrepreneur is, one of the biggest risks. You're going to learn a lot about yourself because you're your own boss. You actually got to get up and put in the work. There's a million different ways you can make money part-time reselling, and we'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.